And this was the last week of the life of Jesus. And in fact, it was probably about 2 or 3 days before he himself died and gave his all. We read in chapter 11 and verse 1 that they approached Jerusalem and he came riding on a donkey. And of course, we know that that was Palm, they call it now Palm Sunday. The week, the Sunday before Easter, as it today is observed. But anyway, it mentions a couple of days later that he went to the temple and he observed the giving on this feast day. Many were from many parts of the world, and they had a lot of time. They had probably a whole year to think about coming to Jerusalem, those that were at a distance, and they were coming, and also they, most of them, as we understand, gave their money to the temple. And on this special day, they gave even more than they normally would. Anyway, Jesus was a people watcher. He sat at the table, and let me turn this on. He sat away from the treasury. There were four treasure boxes in the as the entrances to the temple, as we understand it. Maybe three, maybe four. And people came in different ways from the camp that they were in. There was a camp city set up during these feast days. Many people from throughout the world had come. Israelites had come to the feast day of unleavened bread. And they had put a lot of thought into it, and they were very religious, and they wanted to show a big deal in regard to this. So Jesus sat down and watched how people gave into the treasury. He was a people watcher. It says in verse 41, and he sat down opposite the treasury, one of the boxes of treasury, and began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting large sums. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Yours may read a little different. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, it got him excited. And he got up and called his disciples and said, look what I've seen here today. He said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. In verse 44, for they all put in out of their... Now, my translation says surplus. Yours may say abundance or prosperity or whatever. Mine says their surplus. For they all put in out of their surplus. But she, the poor widow, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. We want to look at this beautiful graphic here, beautiful picture of the Arches National Park in the eastern part of, what is it? Idaho? No. Pardon me? Utah. We've been in Utah several times, and we used to go every year. But anyway, we went to Arches National Park, and we took this picture. It's a beautiful park. But there's a Utah, the southern part of Utah, the northern part of the Grand Canyon's area, where it starts to fall into the Grand Canyon. It's just one of the more beautiful parts of the United States. But anyway, we find this poor widow, and Jesus observing how she put in and what she put in. And we have a title here, The Poor Widow, An Example of Giving All by Faith. She had not only faith in God, but she trusted in God. She was giving all that she had, her whole livelihood, Jesus said. All she had to live on. So who was her trust in? It was in God, that God would protect her. God would supply her needs. Well, let's look at what Jesus saw as people gave. Verse 41. It says, he saw many. That's what the word says. He sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury. And many, many. Now, it's interesting how the words are used here. Many put into the temple treasury. And there were many from throughout the world who were coming in and putting there. And some of them, no doubt, as he says in other places, were making sure that people were watching them. Jesus was watching them. God was watching them. Many of these people were rich. That's what the Bible says. Many rich Israelites, people, gave into the treasury. They were not impoverished. They had money to travel. They had money to pay for their expenses, for whatever their enjoyment during that week that they were there or longer. But he saw many rich put in much. They put in a whole lot of their worth into the treasury. It wasn't just a little bit. They put much into the treasury. And he saw, as it says in verse 44, that they all put in out of their abundance, out of their surplus, as the New American Standard says. Out of their surplus. They probably had already fed their horses and made sure that their chariots were well taken care of, and the parking lots, whatever it may have been, the garages that were present at that time. Make sure that they gave enough money for the hay and all of this. And where they were staying, if not with family, they were staying in rented places. And they probably all had that taken care of. You know, and so out of their abundance, and whatever they had left over, and they probably also had servants back home. And they took care of them, and so forth. And so they were not poor people. The scripture says they were rich. And they gave out of their abundance. Out of what was left over for them to casually give. And they gave a lot of that. In verse 42, he saw a poor widow come to the treasury. And she probably came slow during the interlude when rich people were coming and whatnot going. And he saw this poor widow coming, and probably with her two mites, a penny or less. Many commentators said it was less than a penny, but it was her livelihood. A penny at that time probably could have purchased a month's rent or a week's worth of groceries or whatever it may have been. But here she was putting in this much, and she, and knowing human nature, she probably was walking, thinking about what she was going to do and how she was going to survive after she gave this, and probably looking down at those two mites that almost came to a cent in her hand. And the Lord could see that she was thinking about it. She was maybe praying about it. And she was looking at it. And there was just a lot of concern in her life, in her thoughts. about what was going to happen after she put those in. And he saw her put in two mites. I have a penny here, question mark before and a question mark afterwards. Into the treasury. That which contained the money. One of three or four boxes around the temple area. In verse 44, he saw through his eye of understanding that she was giving out of her poverty. No doubt, also seeing this and knowing this by perception, but also in the way she walked up to it and thought about it and eventually put it in. It was hard. It was difficult for her to do that. And he saw that. And he saw that she had given her whole livelihood. All that she had. Like I said, probably at that time, worth a week's worth of groceries. Or maybe a month's worth of rent. Or whatever it may be for her household. Perhaps she was homeless. Who knows? Apparently she did not have cousins, uncles, aunts, a husband, whatever it may be. Who knows? There was no social security at that time. And this was all that she had. And she put it in. Is anyone wondering why he got excited? Why he called his disciples and said, look what after seeing so many rich people putting in out of a whole lot, this one person seemed to excite him. Well, the context. Jesus is in Jerusalem during the last 6 days of his life. He had come in riding on that previous Sunday on a donkey, and they had cut palms and whatnot and laid him down. And that's why it's called Palm Sunday. And they thought their king was coming to town and he was going to rescue them. But then they began to see that he wasn't coming in a victorious way. He was coming in to die later that week. 5 days, 4 days, whatever it may have been. On the last 2 days or so, Jesus does what he did often. He watched people. He observed people and observed their heart, observed their intentions. On occasion, he became interested in giving to the Lord. Why? Why did he become interested? Well, number one, because giving, and he knew, because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, not a God, like the new translation says, the Jehovah's Witnesses worship an angel. But giving is an act of worship. Let's look at First Chronicles in the Old Testament. And I don't have listed for you, as I did this morning and on previous lessons, the scripture on this overhead. I want for us to read it. This is the culmination of the reign of David, when he was turning over his reigns to King Solomon, his son. And he had already ordained that God was not going to dwell in a tent, in a tabernacle. He was going to dwell in a located facility, a temple. And it was to be built by cedar and precious stones and so on and so forth. In First Chronicles, chapter 29. And let's begin reading in verse 6. And then the rulers of the fathers' households and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands of hundreds and of hundreds with the overseers over the king's work offered willingly. The king, David, had asked for contributions to build this lavish temple and for the service for the house of God, not only for the building, but also for the service for the priest and so on and so forth. They gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of brass and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. For they made their offerings to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. He was gathered before the assembly. And he praised the Lord in sight of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed art thou, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and in the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, Jehovah, that is. And thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. In verse 12, both riches and honor come from thee. And thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Verse 13, Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people that we should be able to offer so generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee, and we are sojourners before thee, and tenants, and as all our fathers were, our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. That is no hope without you, God. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build thee a house for thy holy name, it is from thy hand, all is thine. Since I know, O my God, that thou triest the heart and delightest in uprightness, and I in the integrity of my heart have willingly offered all these things, so now with joy I have seen thy people who are present here make their offerings willingly to thee. And then verse 18. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers preserve this forever in the intentions of the hearts of the people and direct their hearts to thee. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord and the God of their fathers and bowed low and did homage. That is, they worshiped to the Lord and to the King. So why was Jesus so interested in the giving? Because it was an act of honor. It was an act of worship to Jehovah God. Also, he was interested in the giving of the people of God because giving is an act of honor and obedience. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 3, that is. And verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. After the writer Solomon discussing how we need to give our lives to the Lord, he says in verse 9, Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Not the last, not the leftovers, but the first of all your produce. And what is the result? So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. It was an act of honor, an act of obedience to the Lord. And also, he was interested because giving is more blessed than receiving. All we like to receive, we like to get. We like to, like my great-grandson Tito, his birthday was last week. And man, he just couldn't wait to open up those presents. Open up. And if somebody didn't give whatever, why didn't they give? You know, and so forth. But Jesus says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what he says in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's look at that. Let me take this out of here. In everything, in these, he's talking to the Ephesians at the very end of his day. After talking with the elders and whatnot, he now is going to go on his way to Jerusalem. And he says in verse 35, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said." This is what Jesus said. "It is more blessed. You receive more from giving than receiving. It is more blessed to give than to receive." And also, because giving is a part of stewardship. Everything that we have is simply giving back what God has given to us. And in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians and verse 2, "In this case, moreover, it is required." It is required of steward. And that's what we are. We're simply stewards of all the possessions that God has given us. "It is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy." Faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. And because giving is a part of joy and of belonging. Do we understand why we give as a congregation? Because the funds are used for the Lord's good. And we have a part in this. We are a family. And we contribute to the good of the work in this place. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is in regard to the funds that were being sent to Jerusalem for the poor and for the work of the Lord. But notice were the Macedonians wealthy? Were they, did they have extra to give? No. It says in verse 1, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal," they were impoverished, they were in an ordeal of affliction, "their abundance of joy and their deep poverty," they had deep poverty, "overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." They were poor, but yet the wording is that they overflowed in the wealth of their liberality and their giving. "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." They begged Paul. "Paul, please come and take our money, even though we're impoverished. We are not wealthy, yet take what we can give and take it to the poor saints." In verse 5, "And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. And verse 7, but just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in love, we inspired in you, see that you also abound in this gracious work also as a congregation. In verse 8, I am not speaking this of command, but as proving the earnestness of others, the sincerity of your love also. In verse 9, he refers to the Lord in regard to this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And then also, the sixth final thing that I have here, because not giving, that is making sure that we pay for our cable, for our TV, for our phone, for everything else, and for us to, for our bellies to be full, and so on and so forth. When we allow these things to take our finances to the point where we cannot give to the Lord like we should, it's tragedy. Let's look at Malachi chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. Beginning with verse 6, the prophet Malachi says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor, God says? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you. O priest, who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food on my altar. But you say, how have we defiled thee, in that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. You shouldn't give to the church. It is really, you know, they've got enough money and so on and so forth. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil, the blind animals, instead of the good animals? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Try this to your governor. Try this to the highest official in the city and see how he would react. But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 14. But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. You should be more aware of who you're treating as nothing. And then in chapter 3, he says in regard to this giving, will a man rob God? And yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. But you are cursed with a curse. For you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And then he challenges us, bring the whole tithe, the 10%, into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Put me to the test. So why was Jesus concerned about how people gave? Well, we looked at just six of these views. But then he sees his poor widow put in two mites. Now, some lessons to take home. some lessons that we want to take home from this beautiful picture of this poor widow. The widow understood she was worshiping God with her giving of the 2 months. Of less than a penny. Or a penny, or whatever it was. It wasn't much compared to whatever else was being given that day. Even in giving her last 2 mites, which was just maybe a penny or less, it was proper stewardship. It matters not. Where there is a readiness to give, it is accepted, the Lord tells us. And she was ready to give all her livelihood. This was an example of complete and total faith and trust in God. Because what will she do after this? She didn't have a penny. I'm saying, she didn't have anything after this, after she gave her whole entire livelihood. Who would take care of her? She knew that God would. Giving properly to God and to His work involves, besides faith, great, great, great sacrifice. It involves a lot of thought. And no doubt she had thought about this and going to the temple and putting in and going to the treasury box and putting in her 2 cents, her 2 mites. There was a lot of thought in this. But she purposed it. She said, this is what I'm going to do. And as hard as it was for her to go from the steps to the box, that was her purpose. That was her goal. And no doubt it took a lot of prayer. And she was praying, God, please accept this little bit. And yet, He calls His disciples and says, she has given more than all, the biggest offering of that day. And yet many rich were giving much, more than what she had. It took spiritual strength. And it took joy. She knew that God would take care of her. And she was pleased with that. She was satisfied with that. There was nothing, no sadness in her part in regard to that. She knew that God would look down at her with joy. She knew God would bless her. She was, after all, a forever redeemed saint. She was walking in the light, even in the old covenant, as many people were in the old covenant. She knew that she was forgiven, even though she was a human and she did many things wrong. Yet she knew she was a forever redeemed saint, washed in the blood of the animals at that time. And God would take care of her. Give yourself to God and to His kingdom. Yourself. You. That's who He wants. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. Be saved in Jesus Christ. If there is anyone in the audience that needs salvation and you've been wandering about with this doctrine or that doctrine and this person telling you this and this, this is what the Word of God teaches you. This is what the Word of God is telling you. There's salvation only in Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross. Repent of wrong. Change your ways. Change your mind. Change your thoughts. And commit your life to this, like this poor widow did, to God. Turn away from sin. Confess Jesus as the Savior in your life. And if you need be baptized. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for salvation. Not into a body, not into a religion, not into a denomination,
but into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Acts 22 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul. You know, that was a great act of courage for him. And no doubt he spent 3 days not eating and not drinking anything, because God had told him, you're going to go to the Gentiles. And there's a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, being told that he was going to go to the Gentiles, a people that he hated before. And now a man comes to him and says, why are you waiting? Be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you be baptized this evening as we stand and as we sing?